Hi guys, it's me, Julia. Today, I am joined by one of my close friends, Jade Brand. Jade is a podcast host and a creator as well, and we chat all about her divorce, how she kept it cool and found her boyfriend, where she gets her confidence from, and we laugh a lot along the way. I hope you love this one as much as I loved recording it. Here's Jade. I couldn't be more excited to chat with today's guest. She has become one of my closest friends here in Austin. She is the host of Your Poor Dad Pod and also a fabulous content creator, one of my wisest friends when it comes to dating and life advice. Jade Brandt, welcome to Pretty Much Done.
Oh my God, one of your wisest friends?
Truly.
That is scary for you.
Sometimes when like I'm dating a guy or like doing things here in Austin, I'm like, channel Jade, because I'll never forget. Like, first of all, our first hang was like one of my best first dates ever. I don't know.
Literally.
How you felt.
No, we like immediately, I was like, okay. Like, we had like amazing friend chemistry.
Yeah.
And then I was just like sitting on my hands. I was like, I want to like get into the weeds with her.
Totally.
We probably knew each other for like 15 minutes and then we got in the Uber and I was like, let's talk.
Yes. And like, first of all, you've made me love Libras. Like, now whenever someone tells me, yeah, I didn't come across that many Libras, but when someone tells me they're a Libra, I'm like, oh my God, love Libras.
Okay. That's like my main mission in life, as you know, is to just to do really good PR for Libras and like Scorpio risings.
Yeah. Well, you've got it down. And I love that, like, first of all, I can't believe you haven't been on the podcast, but there are so many dating stories that you've had that I think are pertinent to this podcast. And I remember you telling me like your story of when you met Nick, your boyfriend, who you also call Mr. Roberts.
Yeah.
And whenever like I think about how you handled that situation, I try to emulate that same exact energy, just so you know.
Oh my God. And I wish you knew me during that time, because everyone's like, oh yeah, like you seem calm, cool, collected. I would like come back from my date and just like be gripping like the table and be like, okay, I was normal. One date down where I look was normal. And like, I wasn't spiraling in front of this person.
I think everyone can relate to that. But I think the problem is like some people, myself included, or like people, you know, just like get weak and they're like, totally crazy. Like, I will sit and replay how I've been on a date and I'm like, I talked about myself the whole time. Like, did I ask any questions?
Oh, I did the same thing though. I would literally like, I was so skinny during that time because I would just do loops. Anytime I felt crazy, I would just do a loop around my neighborhood and I would just be like, he likes you. Just stop overthinking it. He likes you. Stop. And I would just get in my head and I'd come back and I'd work for like an hour and then I'd go do a loop. I'm like, it was like my crazy loop.
It's so funny because like in a relationship, you gain the like comfort 15 or whatever. But yeah, like in that courting phase, you get so skinny. And I don't know, this is probably toxic of me, but like when I'm on dates with them, I'm like, I'm not hungry at all. And then I come home. Yeah. And I'm like starving. Like,
but it's like also like your adrenaline is up, your anxiety is up. Like I never, and I'm such a foodie, and I would like never eat on the date because I would just be like buzzing. And I'd be like, I can't even eat. Like I'm so like overstimulated.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Speaking of overstimulated, I feel like if anyone's listening to this podcast, they're like, who is Jade? What is happening? Like, why are they just like launching into this crazy toxic like talk? But
yeah,
for anyone like listening, I want them to know what your podcast is about, what your social media content is about, just so that they can get like a taste of Jade. And then we can just talk about dating in general.
Yes. Okay. So my content, it's me, Jade B, is I kind of talk about like a bunch of different things like dating and not like dating's not like the core, but like I love talking about dating because I come from a family of all girls like you too. And so like, we've always been talking shit like our entire lives. And like dating is the most interesting thing to talk shit about, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of one of the things I talk about. I talk about millennial stuff, like wellness things, because like I'm always trying to be skinny and it's just like, you know, it's hard.
One of my favorite things that you do on your socials is like, you're like, yeah, I want to be skinny. And if that is toxic, then I am not the creator for you.
Literally scroll. Like, I want to be skinny. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And like, as someone who's been overweight her entire life, I am not going to be like,
constantly loving my body. I've come to a place where I've gotten really comfortable with my sense of self. But when I came to Austin, I don't know if the same happened for you. And I've like gained, I feel like I'm like fluctuating between 7 and 10 pounds. And I'm like, I don't look in the mirror and think, wow, love, love, love.
You yeah. Like, oh, I love you. It's like, we're still millennials. We were still raised in an era where it was like, you had to be skinny. Like that was it. And it's so hard to deprogram that from your brain. And now at least like we're doing it all in a healthier way.
Yeah.
I want to feel the best about myself.
Yeah. And I think like if anyone wants to check it out, like you have this amazing program that you've kind of coined and created called 75 Hotter.
Yeah.
And it's a play.
Hot. Because I will.
I almost slipped.
I saw it because you were like, you were thinking of that other girl.
Yeah.
She's the new me. That's fine.
Yes. Oh my God. Jade constantly gets ripped off for her content, but that's a whole different episode.
So do you. Oh my God. So do you. Like, yeah. I'm honestly almost worse.
Yeah. But anyway, it's like such an easy, attainable way to lose weight and have a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. It's all about sustainability. And like, because if you're not like crash dieting, like, used to be my like a bread and butter. It just like never works.
Never. I have a question for you that I don't think I've ever asked you in the history of our long friendship. Did you watch Sex and the City? Where did you get your dating wisdom from?
Okay, here's the thing about me is like I was the biggest late bloomer ever. And like I was like so deeply like unsure of who I was. Like I was not confident around guys, like because I have two sisters and I'm the oldest, and I just feel like I like was not around like a lot of like male kids my age, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was just always like, oh my God, boys are scary. Like so weird. Like I was the last one to have my first kiss, last one to lose my virginity, last one to have a boyfriend. Like everything was last. So I think divorce, honestly, gave me confidence.
I can't believe that. That's wild to think because you're so confident. You're so sure of yourself. I think that like when you walk into a room, you really command a presence. And to think that you were a like late bloomer, maybe it's why we get along, because I also like because I was chubby for so long, I was definitely the periphery friend. And like I remember having crushes on guys and they'd be like, I have a crush on your friend.
Oh, story of my life. I was the funny friend forever. And I like, I don't know why it was like that. I've always been so confident around women though. Like that's just like, I'm a girl's girl. Like I just love girls. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I just have always been so comfortable. So like maybe that, like once I gained the confidence around men, it just kind of like blossomed, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was always like friends with guys like in high school and stuff, but like dating, I just was, that was not me.
I was a dater. I know. I am a girl's girl too, but I think that because I like was the friend for so long, I know how to like be a guy's wingman and they like love that about
same.
Me.
Same. No, same too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you mentioned it, you were like divorce kind of gave me the confidence. First of all, I think that like there is shame and stigma around like divorce and also like starting over. So I want you to tell your story because I feel like the way that you communicate your divorce and your story is like so beautiful and there is no shame and stigma around it. And I think that for anyone who has felt that shame and stigma, it would be helpful to know your story.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. So my ex-husband was my very first like real relationship where it was like, oh, this is like a real like thing, you know. It wasn't, I think before that it was just all like situationships, like no one was like, this is my girlfriend. So he kind of did give me confidence in that way of like, because he was a very loyal person, so like you get confidence when someone's like loyal to you, I feel.
Yeah.
And so we got married and we were together 7 years. Like people think like it was just like a flash in the pan. No, it was like my entire 20s was with this person. And 2 months after we got married, I found out he had an addiction problem. And it was like the most like jarring thing. And I just remember being like, okay, this is not going to go well. Cause I just know me and I'm not somebody who can like really, to be with an addict, you have to be like 100% like, you have to like be in the weeds with them. And I just wanted somebody who could help me like rise and like lift me up and not like drag me down.
Yeah.
So it was like 2 years. The first year I didn't tell a soul he was an addict. And so he was like doing the craziest shit. Like he like would take my car, not tell me, crash it. he would be like, oh, just picking up for, but he was very high functioning. Wow. And so it was easy to hide because it was like, he's got a job, like we're doing fine, but we weren't doing fine. And then so like that first year, I didn't tell anyone. Then I had to tell people. And then that second year, it was like just lies, 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 lies. And then all the lies came to a head. And that's when I was like, oh, I need to get the fuck out of here.
When now that you're like far removed from it, I have a few questions. First of all, why did you make the decision to get married? Do you remember? Because I feel like when you're in your 20s, like I've talked to someone and they're like, getting married in your 20s is like, you shouldn't.
You know, like really, it's so crazy. Like I was actually just having dinner with, I have like my pre-divorce friends and my after-divorce friends. And I'm like, and I've, first of all, I also have not lost like any friendships from this. And like, I think that's a testament to me and him. But I was like, it's so crazy. We were all in this like big crew. It was like everyone was getting engaged. We all moved in together around the same time. We all like got engaged around the same time. We all got married. And I feel like it was like, oh, this is what you do. Like I was itchy for the next step.
Yeah.
And I was young. Like my frontal lobe was like freshly formed. And I was like, we can work through these like issues, like bickering all the time, him like not liking me as a person, me not really liking him as a person. And really the addiction, like if those issues weren't there, maybe the addiction wouldn't have broken us. But
yeah. When I think back at like the relationships I was in my 20s, I think it's because I didn't have a deep sense of self. So I was relying on these people in group settings, create a sense of self.
Yes.
Don't worry. Like, don't worry about me. I have a partner here. Cool. And we're all doing the same thing. And that was really what my 20s was about.
100%. That is that right there. Like that is probably the reason why, like my whole identity was tied up in like being a partner with this person. And then through the 2 years of being married, which I'm like, yeah, okay, we were married, but like we were not a functioning married couple. Like we were more of a married couple when we were dating than when we were actually married. Like that's when I truly had to figure out who I was. And like, that's why I think my divorce was so much easier than other breakups I had, because I knew exactly who I was. I was so sure of what I was doing that like, and I'm a people pleaser to my core, but whatever reason that left my body during this. And I was, people were like saying the craziest shit about me. And I was like, I don't care. It's like fight or flight. I was like, literally like, this is my like life that I'm protecting.
Not to make this about something as silly as social media, but like he literally prepared you for being a content creator on the internet.
Literally. But the funny thing was, is like he was like weirdly supportive of me like posting stuff all the time. And I'm like, but I like also see things. I'm like, oh, I wish I could have like started my podcast so much. But I was like trying to protect him.
Yeah.
And I was like, it would have been so helpful to have a podcast during that time, because like there was no one that was going through what I was going through. Like I like was scouring the internet and like it all was kind of like scary. I'm like, no one like feels like happy and like optimistic. Like no one's giving me hope.
Totally. In hindsight, I think that there are so many situations where women are hiding a secret for their partner. It's not just addiction. Like,
yeah,
he cheated, he's gambling, or we don't have money, or he sucks and hates all my friends. I don't know, like all these things. Do you wish you had said something sooner? Like, do you think that like telling your friends broke you of like this just pain? I don't know. Like, I feel like for me, once I started being honest about certain relationships, it was like freeing.
Yeah, I actually don't regret keeping it a secret for a year, because I think I needed to process it, because it wasn't just like, oh, he's my boyfriend, like, let's break up. Like, I needed to figure out, like, what was going on between me and him and in my head. And we did therapy a lot, too. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I'm glad I allowed myself to process it before I told people, because when I told people, it was just like, and you know me, I'm not like a very emotional person. Like, I'm empathetic, but like, I'm not like, oh, like my friend like literally was like crying. She's like, I can't believe you're dealing with this. I'm like, stop. Like you are making it worse. Like I need someone who's like, let's fucking go. Like, let's figure this out. And that's how my mom is. So like when I told her, I felt a relief. But to your point, it is freeing when you tell someone, like, but I think you have to be like done. It's almost like an insurance policy when you tell.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do with like the one after my divorce. I had to tell everyone, I'm like, okay, so this is actually how he has been treating me. And everyone's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like, yeah, I know. And then you like, it comes out of your mouth out loud. And so you have to like hear it out loud, not just in your head.
The things I would say, like I told my sisters after like me and the one after, I don't even know what we would call him, like army guy. They were like, you're psychotic for saying it. Like this, that's a low. Like it was so bad.
It's like you were post-divorce. We all have to have someone who kind of like humbles us. Okay, so you get the guts. You're like, divorce, cool, move on with my life. How old are you at this point?
It was 2 weeks after I turned 30.
Okay, damn.
Literally, I'm like 30. Like it's, you know, like that. It's almost like when Y2K happens, when you turn 30, you're like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're like, and then I was like, okay. And I felt so confident. And I need to get like before and after pictures of like pre-divorce, post-divorce. The glow up was insane. Like I literally was like the hottest I've ever looked in my life.
It's so funny. Not funny, but my therapist says that like trauma is stored in your body. And it sounds like you were holding on to a lot of trauma in that relationship.
100%. And then once I was free of it, I was my best self after the divorce. And it like bothered everyone around me. Like everyone's like, just wait. Like you have not processed this. I'm like, I've been processing the end of this relationship for 2 years. And you guys don't even know half of the shit like that had gone on. Cause like I probably blocked it out of my brain, but like, I'm good. Like, and my mom to this day will be like, oh, you still haven't processed your divorce. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I fucking processed it. I've had like two major relationships since then.
Yeah. Okay. So did you meet army guy immediately after?
I knew him from college. Okay. This is my Libra, like being ruled by Venus. Like my best friend's like at this tailgate and she's like, so this guy's like, what's up with Jade? And she's like, she's actually going through a divorce, right? As we speak, like as of like a few days ago. And so I get a text from him and I'm just like, oh my God, like this is why I'm getting a divorce because this is the love of my life.
Why do we do that? I will always do that with a guy I'm into. I'm like, this is why it didn't work out with that guy because this is why. And then they show me exactly who they are and it is not why.
Oh, and like, I could not have played it better at that time because first of all, I was like, so like feeling myself. I also like knew I did not want to settle down with this person, but I was super interested in him. So I was like showing just enough like interest while still being like unattainable that just like it, he's an avoidant. So like that is like his, like he was like loving it. The adrenaline rush of him trying to get me was like, he loved it. And then when I was ready to like give in and take him, he was like, oh,
oh my God. Okay. Well, something that you do really well, and like, this is what sticks with me. This is why I'm like channel Jade, is like you being like, I know how to play it. Like, I know like people are going to, maybe if like a dating coach is listening to this, they're like,
say I'm toxic.
Well, they're just going to be like, no, but honestly, you're in a really wonderful relationship. And like, you kind of had to play it cool at first because of the circumstances. I want to talk about like how you met Nick, but how does one tap into playing it the right way? That's why I think about you a lot. I'm like, Jade would never text first.
It's funny because like I channel other people. Like I am like the most delusional person. So I will make up scenarios in my mind of like, how would the coolest girl be reacting to this? You can have your freak out in your apartment all you want, but like they don't know that. So like they only know what you're giving them.
Yeah.
And that's what I just kept reminding myself. Like they don't know what's going on. So like when Nick would ask me, and Nick is like an angel, like he is such a good guy. Like, and he was so respectful of my time. So he would like ask me like, hey, like I want to see you this week. Which days work best for you? And I'd be like, well, he doesn't know that I have no fucking friends here and no plans. So I'd be like, I'm a little busy Tuesday, but like Wednesday I can make it work. Or if he'd be like, he'd ask me like, are you free Wednesday? I'd be like, oh no, but like Thursday works. Like, and I had no plans Wednesday.
Okay. Can I tell you something I did recently? So my problem is like, if I'm like, okay, we're both on the same page and we both like each other, then I get vulnerable and I'm like, oh, I can't play it. Like we both like each other. Obviously there's a spark. We feel something.
Yeah.
And like this guy was like, would you want to hang out again? And we'd been texting like a lot. And I was like, LOL, don't be ridiculous. Cause like we'd been texting a lot, but like I'm showing my cards there.
Yeah. I think like you want to just be like show them that, cause it feels so good to like know that the other person likes you. Honestly, with Nick / Mr. Roberts, I did not show my cards for a really long time. Cause I had to, like, until it was like we're exclusive, that's when but I also like showed interest too. Like I was very like, cause I think that's like the delicate dance. Like some people play it a little too cool. That's what I used to do. And I was like, no, I need to like be a little vulnerable with this person while still like having my heart like protected a little bit.
Well, I think like, first of all, the way in which you met Nick, like he had just gotten out of a relationship.
Yeah.
So you knew you had to, like the circumstances dictated it in that way.
That is so true. Yes, you're right.
I think everyone can tap into this. Like, I think that the more you show that you have a life outside of this person, mm-hmm. is so attractive because you did have a life outside of this person before you met them.
That's another thing I did. I really did a lot of work on myself and I like really wanted to be, because I had like put my life on hold for two guys at that point. So I like charged through life. Like before I would like bend myself into this tiny little box to fit like the person. Like, what do they want? Like, oh, you want like this, you want that? And I'd be like, with Nick, I decided like, I just need to charge through and make plans without thinking about him.
Yeah.
Which was hard for me because I'd be like, oh, I want to keep my weekends open for him. But I was like, just make a fucking plan. He hasn't made a plan with you yet. Just make a plan.
How do you then not spiral? And like when he texts you, let's say he doesn't see you that weekend. And then Monday he texts you. He's like, hey, I want to see you. I'm like, why don't you fucking text me, you asshole?
You, like, I just wish you were, like, because I also had no friends here. So, like, I was, like, literally trying to talk to my friends who, like, all my friends have kids. And I'm just like, this guy I'm obsessed with. They're like, shut up. Like, I have a toddler. But it was, like, he would, like, and you know Nick is, like, you know, social media guy. He, like, posted a selfie of his outfit. And I'm, like, literally just, like, circling the drain, like, we're over. Well, it was just traumatic.
Did you then find yourself looking at who he follows and like looking at who followed him and then been like, who is Amanda?
Literally every time his following count went up, I went and looked and it was another blonde girl. And I was just like, it was trauma. But then I stopped doing that.
So when you guys are together, you guys have been together like 2 years, a year and a half?
We met 2 years ago, but then we had like the 6 months of like, what are we doing? And then, so I guess like a year and a half of like really dating.
Okay. I love you guys. You guys are an amazing couple. Like one of my favorite couples that I hang with. When you talk to Nick about like what you did right, when you just like think about yourself, like for the girlies listening who are down bad about a guy, right? And they like, they want this. They want what you created. What do you tell them? What did you do correct?
I think what I did correct, which like, at one point, it bit me in the ass. It was like, I only came when he called. Like, I am a very visual person. So I just like was kept going on the course of my life. Like, I'm going to keep going, doing whatever I want, making the plans with all my girlfriends, whatever. And then when he came in, then I like took a date. Like, I would text him and like be like, oh, this funny thing, whatever. But like, I always let him make the plan. And I call it like the lawn chair because like I really needed to see, because I didn't know, I wanted to be exclusive and he wasn't ready. Like I needed him to kind of show me his intentions. So I just like sat there and I would wait. And then he would like text and be like, hey, do you like want to hang out? And it's like, yes. And he always made plans too. So I think it's like I didn't push it along. I let him push it along.
I think what a lot of us do wrong, women and men, but a lot of us do wrong is like, we're not getting the answer of like, he's obsessed with me. He wants to be my boyfriend. And so we force their hand and we'll text and we'll be like, why aren't you planning anything? Why aren't you initiating? And then we scare them away. And that's what happens.
Yes. And I think that's kind of what I didn't want to do with him, but we were very open with each other too. He was like, I need to date. And I was like, yeah, like you need to date. I was the first person he went on a date with post breakup, and we had this insane chemistry. We like had our values aligned, everything. We had like all these deep chats, and he was like, "You're the first person I went on a date with." And I was like, fuck, like he's going to think like every date is going to be that good. Cause I've been that place post divorce. I'm like, ah, the first person I am coming into contact with is obsessed with me. Dating is easy.
Yeah, I know. But then you probably changed the mentality of like, let him see what a dumpster fire it is out there.
That's what I told him. I was like, I really want you to date because it's so hard to find somebody that you not only have chemistry with, that is a sane, normal person who has the same life goals as you. Yes. Like you'll see, like there's not a lot of Jades just sitting out there for you.
Totally.
And like, I would say that to him and I'd just come home and be like, there's a million Jades, especially like, cause we matched on Raya too.
Yeah.
And Raya, like, it's criminal that they let you see other women.
Oh, I know. So I know.
I would be like looking in Austin and seeing like the other girls on Raya. And I was just like, fuck my life.
By the way, this is probably just an Austin experience. So not everyone is going to relate to this. But the guys that I'll go out with that I'm whatever spiraling about, like I'll look at their following and it's like, Jade follows them or like so-and-so follows them. I'm like, they're like friends of my friends. And like, why do I hate these girls?
Oh, it's crazy. Luckily I had no friends back then. So, but now like when people show me like, oh, I'm talking to this guy. I'm like, how do I know this person? I've been here like 2.5 years. I just got here.
Yeah, it's not great. Some people say that you should date a divorced guy because like he knows what it's like. Do you believe in that thought process?
I would say date a divorced girl if you're a guy, but like dating a, like, what did he do? Like, I just blame everything on him. So it's like, I guess, yes, in a way, but I think, oh, I would be trepidatious to be a
judge. Totally.
But like, I just always blame everything on, like, I'm like, what did he do for his divorce? Like, why did she divorce him?
Totally. It's funny. I got a podcast review recently about like an episode. And it was like, this one was finally about how like good because she wasn't talking about how men are the worst.
But like, don't be the worst and like, they won't be the worst.
Totally.
That's another thing that I was like talking, maybe it was with you, but like how like men kind of have like the control and things.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, like girls, they don't realize how much power they have. And it's like, no, you guys are so detached from your emotions because like the way we've raised men.
Yeah.
You make it, the control is within the detached.
I don't know why men have all of the control. Like, is it because they pay for the date or I don't know. Like I saw a video the other day where it was like, men are so afraid of rejection. And so maybe it's like their way of like avoiding the rejection that they just like are half in, half out.
I think it's also like their egos, like they are like driven by ego too.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, but then I think about Nick and he's like so not like that, which is interesting. I'm just like, how do we like clone you for everyone?
He's a really good like wingman though, because he has like a lot of good friends.
Yeah.
So he does try.
He is. And it's so funny. Like when you said like you like us as a couple, like I've never gotten that feedback with anyone I've ever been with. No one's ever like, oh, I really like you guys were so fun to be around.
Well, it's about time. It's your literally karma. It was your karma.
Karma is my boyfriend.
Totally. Oh my God. That's so cute. I love that. That's, by the way, the first Taylor Swift reference you've said that I've gotten.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yay. I know
that one. I want to talk about confidence and self-worth because I think you have a lot of it. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I look at you and I really feel like you know who you are and you're very confident. You're also 35 and you're like in this place in your life where you just like ooze it. Do you think that?
I think that. And I think it's like, it comes from really, it's true confidence because I had to build it myself. Like we were saying, like in my marriage, I kind of had confidence from him. And then I had this like, I was on like a confidence high post-divorce. Then the army situationship just like literally smacked me on my ass because also, okay, so it was 2.5 years of a situationship. And then he went away to war, whatever the fuck they do. And he was like, all right, when I get back, we're going to do this for real. He's like, you're my girlfriend. You're moving in with me. So that was the plan. I drive most of my shit out to fucking Colorado. The hell on earth. Like, there's like weird vibes in Colorado. I'm convinced. People love it. They're like, Aspen, whatever. I'm like, it's cursed, man. But I was there for 2 days and he was like acting so weird. And I was like, are you not happy we're here? Me and Hank, my dog. And he's like, I'm so glad you brought this up. Like, I don't know what is wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. We have done this for 2.5 years at this point. I am not like this new girl in your life. I was there for a week, literally.
Had you moved your shit?
So I had like all my furniture in storage. And the plan was like, I was going to be there for a month. He had to go to some army school. And then I was going to move the rest of my shit in during that period. I had all my clothes. Like, I literally had my entire car was packed.
Oh my God.
And he gaslit me. I was like, what am I supposed to say to people that are, like, I just got here literally days ago. And he's like, well, you just came to visit. I was like, you're insane that you just fucking said that. Like, I didn't come here to visit. I came here to move here, bitch.
Is that when you like maybe took stock and you're like, all right, Jade, like I need to do better. I need to like not get into situations like this.
Oh yeah. That was like, I had bent myself to like, I hate Colorado. And I was like, I love Colorado Springs. I'm going to love it here. I like had brainwashed myself. I didn't know who I was. And I like, that's the lowest I've felt. And I feel like I heard someone say this once, but it's like, I feel like the best breakups are when you are so clear on who you are, because you're not trying to like, you're only missing that person. Like, I was grieving the person I was and that person. And I had to like rebuild my confidence from like the ground up. Like, it was like completely demolished. And then I was like, okay, like first step, move to Austin. Next step, like join a gym. Like, I like literally had to like claw and like look over the mountain and be like, oh, there she is. She's there.
If someone is like looking to rebuild, was it like fresh start Austin? Or like, where did you draw from first?
I think it was fresh start Austin. Like, it was a completely new city, like so different than where I spent my 20s, which is Orange County, California. And I had to like find like my things again. Like, I had to find like my gym. I had to find my favorite food spots. Like, those little things kind of gave me like, oh, this is my gym. This is my food spot. You know, like, yes. It was no one else's. It was just mine.
Yes. I feel like I'm in a similar boat where like, because I was from LA and like a lot of the things that I was used to were there and like my security blankets, obviously, of my family, I almost had to come here to be able to be exactly who I needed to be away from the patterns that I had built. And I think yes. There is something special in that.
Oh, 100%. That's like when you, I was kind of shitting on Austin when you moved here, but like it is such a nice like place to find yourself again.
I agree. It's funny. I read a comment that Danielle left on one of our friends' posts about Austin. And she's like, I don't know if it's Stockholm syndrome, but you just start to like it. I was dying.
That is hilarious.
That was so funny. I was like, I guess so. I guess that's just what's going to happen for me. Like, yesterday, a friend and I were drinking wine in my backyard and a fucking cockroach was flying.
That is so Austin.
And she didn't flinch. She wasn't flinching at all because she's from Texas. And I was just like, yep, 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 yep.
That's, I know when I see like a cockroach now, I'm just like, ugh, okay, move on. But it's still like wet and muggy here. It's like perfect for those kind of bugs.
I know, I know. Something else that you've been on is like your fitness journey and your like becoming beautiful before 40 journey. And I think you got me on the Dennis Gross, which has like changed my life. If any girlies like want some tips, like you're also a bodybuilder right now. You are.
I'm always a bodybuilder. It's so fun. Actually, it's so funny because like if you were to have known me like in my 20s, like I hated working out. That was like my entire personality. Like as much as I love working out now, like
yeah. I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah, yeah.
It's like you could see it. It's like a thin line between love and hate. I started going to the gym when I was like going through like my marriage. I'm always like my marriage. If he ever sees this, he's gonna be like, "You're such a bitch." I mean, he already probably thinks that, but. And I would just like make myself go to the gym. I like signed up for classes, and I would go five times a week. And I was just like, you just have to go. And you like have to like walk out of your car and get into the class. But once you do that, you can leave. But then I would be so scared to leave that I would just be like in there and I'd be trapped and I would just listen to them. Then I started liking it. Then I started like seeing like, you know, a bicep muscle. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, this is what girls look like that are hot. Like I have a bicep. So it gave me like so much confidence doing that for myself.
Yeah, I get that.
And that's so I feel like the biggest tip I would have is like make it easy on yourself and put yourself in like cruise control. Like if you're going through something hard, just like don't bring yourself to the gym and like make yourself work out. Like let someone else tell you how to work out.
I agree. Because I'm in my poor era right now. I wasn't joining a gym. And I'm a very extroverted person where it's like a community Same. For me. And so I'm like, bite the bullet, you yeah. stupid bitch. You can pay. So I decided I started like paying yeah. for a gym because I can't.
Not. It's so good for your mental health. And like, it's like your, like, that's how I start my mornings is like being around people. And I think it's like nice to not have to think about work for like an hour before you start work.
I completely yeah. agree. I want to get some dating yeah, hot takes.
I love hot takes. You know me.
Okay.
yeah. I'm like, who can I piss off?
We're actually pretty tame and timid right now, like in terms of talking shit, but it's fine.
Yeah. They're probably like, okay, what is behind that?
Totally. You'll never know. Okay. It's okay for the girl to text first sometimes.
I think yes, but like it has to be like worth it. And I think like in the early stages, like if it like a little funny inside joke you guys have on a date, like taking a picture and showing that, like that's good. But like yeah. I don't like girls asking guys like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Because I feel like we make it too easy on men and like their lives are so easy. They get paid more than us. Like they should fucking ask you on a date at the minimum.
I agree. They should be asking you yeah. on the date.
Another thing, another texting thing I did with Nick was, this is going to sound so stupid if a guy is listening to this, they're going to be like, women are crazy. But I made myself just like, when I saw the text, like I didn't let myself stew on text. I didn't let myself like think of like the wittiest, craziest way I could like respond. I just was like, how would I respond if this was my friend? And I just like kept it simple and like light and fun. But like, because with your friend, you're not like overthinking text, but you're bantering, you're having fun with them. And I think that also like helped a lot.
I don't think that's crazy. I mean, that's I thought that you would be like, I gave it like an hour before I answered.
I think guys would be like, what do you mean you just like saw text and responded to it? I would be like seeing text before being like, I'm gonna let that sit there until I come up with like the best American novel to respond to it.
My problem is that I have so much wit that I'm like, oh my God, I have the best answer right now. And I'm like, I don't have to be like stand up right now.
And
relax.
Same. I come up, I like would overbit everything. I'm like, how would I respond to one of my best friends? Like I gave wit when I like needed to give it.
Totally. Yeah. Your best friend is like, why are you
stand up with me? Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay. I like that. What do you think about him sliding into your DMs versus texting you?
If he has your number, he should text you. We have learned to accept the absolute bare minimum from guys. And like, Nick would like swipe up on my stories and I would like be baiting him. I'm like, that's not me like taking like a hot selfie. My friends are probably like, what are you doing? But then he would like swipe up, give me the fire emoji and I would just like it. And I wouldn't like say anything more. I wouldn't try to start the conversation because I'm like, you have my number. You can text me if you want to.
Also with a fire reaction, it's like, what do you do? Upside down smiley face. And then what?
Yeah. You just like it. Like, okay, that took 0.2 seconds out of your day. Like you're not getting anything else out of me.
Make a difference.
Yeah. Make a fucking reservation. It better be good.
Okay. This one I'm very curious about. What do you think about like the slow burn versus the immediate spark? Like, you know how like people are like, give someone a chance, do it a couple dates versus spark.
Those people found their husbands at 21. Like literally they can go fuck themselves. That's like truly like I've been on both sides where when I was like married and I'm like, what? Like just the minute you stop looking, he'll find you. Like I want to slap myself. I think like you need to feel like chemistry and like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just think like if you're not like immediately attracted to somebody, like then are you like convincing yourself that you like them?
I know you are.
Unless I think the outlier there is like if you guys are friends and then you start seeing each other in a different way and then you're like, ooh, yes. Okay, like that's different. But like if you're like going out on a date with a guy from Hinge and you're not like, this is exciting, like you're just like, well, he has a good job.
When you go on the date where you do have chemistry and like there's not lulls in conversation, you're not like, how many siblings do you have? Like, when it's not like that, you're like, oh my God, this is what it's supposed to feel like. I gaslit myself.
That is so true. Like, I would go on so many, like, and we've talked about this, like, I would go on so many good dates here and I'd be like, oh, like, this is a lovely date. Like, I like him, but I didn't know if I liked him. And then, then I met Nick and I was like, oh, there it is. Like, that's what you're supposed to feel like fun, totally. Exciting.
Dating apps suck.
Well, we met on a dating app, but I do think it's like, I don't think dating apps suck. I think men suck. I think men don't know how to ask a girl out. I don't think they need to be taking charge. Like, that's why apps like Bumble, I will fucking like ride this forever. Bumble is a fake. They've given women like this false thing, like, oh, you have the power, so you're going to text first. I'm like, no, we're just putting the power back in their hands because now the guys, we're like, please, here's a... Will you please respond to me or else this is going to expire in 24 hours? How is that empowering women literally at all? It's a marketing gimmick. Like, it's literally Tinder with like a woke flag on it. Like, I think it's so such bullshit. Yeah. I don't think it's dating apps. I think it's the men. Men need to be taking charge. That, I'm sorry. Like, I'm a little traditional in that way. I think like that's how they're wired and they should be doing it.
Yeah. Yet again, we're like helping them.
Yeah, it's like, and it's disguised as like being safe for us. I'm like, how is this safe for me? Like, I'm having to do the work of like looking through their shitty profile, being like, I like, my dad's from Chicago. You're wearing a Chicago Bears hat. Cool. And then they're like, ghost you. And then they don't respond. And it's like, we fucking matched. Like,
yeah. My last question for you, you know, like I've been on my bit of like, this is about to be the best summer ever for single people, whatever. I also like, I'm counting on you for that too. Cause like you're my friend in Austin. How does one make this like the best single summer for themselves? Or like, how does like someone make it like the best single season for themselves this summer?
What I think like my favorite single seasons are when I've had like really strong friend groups. And I think like really focusing on yourself and finding like a really good group of girls, like that's what my first step would be, because it's only fun being single when you have like other girls to talk about. Cause you could be like, oh my God, guess what happened on this date? Like, and then they can like, it's like juicy and it feels like less alone. And I think we are like a species that is like, we thrive in communities. And I think that's like number one step. I also would get spray tans every single week. That's what I did during my divorce.
I want one. You have one right now.
Yeah, I go to Palm Beach. That's like my biggest hack ever. Like I have a membership to Palm Beach Tan and I don't recommend their spray tans, but it's quick. It's easy. I pay like $60 a month. I get like 4 spray tans a month. I mean, it's like cheap. Yeah. So
that's a great hack. That's such a good hack. That's so good.
I've been feeling like shit about myself because I'm like coming off like the worst period ever. And I'm just like, I'm going to get a spray tan. I immediately felt gorgeous.
Okay. Well, guess where I'm headed to soon. Yeah,
or it's like you could even just do like the Saint-Tropez, like whatever. Like just any – in the back, I don't care. Like I don't have to see that. But like
– he has to see that. Like, I don't have to see that.
His tan so like it like masks the cellulite that's forming. It's like fine.
Yeah, totally. Jade, I adore you. Tell everyone where they can find your podcast and your social media.
My podcast is Your Poor Dad Pod, or that's like our handle, but it's me and my two sisters. We got the name because we're a family of all girls. So anytime we tell a man that, they're like, oh, your poor dad. I'm like, okay.
Sure.
But it's like, we talk about this kind of stuff too. And I'm like, we each three have such like distinct personalities and viewpoints that like, they're always checking me. So like, I'm the delusional one. They're like, why do you think that? Like, don't be toxic. Like, if you don't agree with my advice, you probably would love my sisters.
Yeah, I'm like you.
Yeah, and my sisters are like, that's toxic. I'm like, make him, like, you should find out where his boss lives and send him a letter. And my sister's like, you're insane.
Yeah. And it's me, Jade B, on Instagram.
This Celsius is like making me like extra like today, so.
Perfect. Well, I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.